Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Fly Girl Show. I am your host, Casey Grant, and I'd like to thank you for joining me today for another exciting and very interesting show today. Today, my guest is Miss Jacqueline Jacquette Williams, and she is the founder of Black Flight Attendants of America, Inc. Good morning, Jacqueline.
Good morning, Casey. How are you?
I am Peachy Keenan, and I tell you, I am so excited to have you on the show. Whether my audience wants to hear this or not, I have been trying to meet you for years, and I tell you, too busy flight attendants, it's very hard to coordinate our schedules to get together. So I am so pleased that we have finally met. We were together at the Black Writers on tour in California last weekend, and your brother with his book. That was a really, really exciting and well-done convention, didn't you think?
Oh, I thought it was outstanding. I was very proud to see all the great, great writers that are spreading their stories to everyone.
I tell you, I know, it was wonderful, wonderful. I've just recovered from the jet lag. I flew all night to get back to Chicago. And
oh,
I tell you, it takes a little time to recover from all of that flying. I don't know. You're still flying, right, Jacqueline?
I'm still flying the friendly skies.
Now, how many years you're flying with? It used to be Continental, and because of the merger, now you are United. And how many years did you fly, or are you have you flown?
I'm still flying, and I start year 42 in July.
Congratulations.
And I'm going to hang around as long as I'm healthy, because every trip is a vacation.
And where are you flying to? Are you international?
I am international, and my route is Asia. So I'm usually, you can find me in Hong Kong, Shanghai, Beijing, Narita, Japan. Sometimes you might find me in Mumbai or Delhi.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you know what, even though I was a flight attendant for all those years, I did 35, that still is so exciting to me to hear you name off all those wonderful places. Some of them I got to and some of them I didn't, because Delta didn't really do a lot of international until we merged with Pan Am. And so I was based in New York, and I flew a lot of those trips, but how exciting. I'm still just thrilled with the flight of the flight attendant career. What a wonderful
thing. It's a great
thing.
Career.
It really is.
Yes, great career.
It really
love
is.
Love it.
So now tell me about your organization and tell me why you found a need or why was it necessary, which I'm very happy that you did, and it is mentioned in my book, Stars in the Sky. I was honored to be able to have a little section in there with you, about you and the organization. But will you please tell my audience about the organization and why you found it necessary to organize?
I will, and thank you, Casey. First of all, I want to congratulate you on your wonderful, wonderful writings in your book. I'm really enjoying it. I'm almost done. But your stories are our stories, and it just makes me think of how many stories all of us have out there across the globe. They're all very, very similar, great experiences, and you just opened my eyes to what we've experienced and are still experiencing. So I just want to thank you, and also for putting us in the book. We appreciate that.
Well, you know,
so
the book couldn't have been written without you being in it, because I've been so impressed being in Chicago on the other side of the world, and you are in California. We didn't have any organizations like that, and I always wanted to become a part of it, to be among the flight attendants, to be able to hash over the issues that we were dealing with, because you really broke the color barriers if you've been around for 40-something years. So we all understand, which is what the book is about, is
right.
all the trials and tribulations that we went through. And
that's
now we
true.
Formed an organization called Asantewa, and we offer scholarships, which you do the same thing too. You offer scholarships, and I want you to tell my audience about that. But let's
okay.
get back to the original, how it started. So I'm going to be quiet and let you just take over.
Okay. First of all, I'm this girl, and you all know this term, straight out of Compton. That's me. I'm
yes,
a girl from
yes.
Compton, long before it became famous. And when I was growing up, I didn't live far away from the landing strip for LAX, Los Angeles International. And we would sit on our porch or our stoop or whatever you call it in your neck of the woods in this country and beyond. But we would watch airplanes take off and land, but mostly land, coming in to approach a landing. And I would sit on that porch and look up at those airplanes and wonder, who is up there? Who are those people? Who made that piece of metal? How did it happen? And my mind started wandering and wandering, and eventually I decided that this is something I wanted to do. I wanted to find out more about that airplane and everything that made it take off and land and fly safely. As we have this conversation, I learned that airplanes are taking off and landing safely around the world every few seconds. I learned that. And
yeah.
so when I became a flight attendant, I decided that it was important that I take that conversation from the porch and I take it to my fellow flight attendants, those of us that were on the airplane, with very few black flight attendants at that time, 1974, 1975, and we would have meetings in the galley. And I said, you know, let's form an organization, and let's call ourselves Black Flight Attendants of America, and let's spread this information to communities around this great country and the world, and let them know about careers in aviation on the ground and in the air. And as we get more and more senior, more experience, we learned about more and more opportunities within aviation. We want to share that information, and that's how it came about. And here we are, almost 42 years later, officially incorporated as Black Flight Attendants of America, and we're still spreading that information to the youth and young adults around the country about careers in aviation on the ground and in the air. And we want them to know that, and we still want them to know, that there are careers out there that you may never, ever be exposed to, but we want to tell you about it. We want to expose you to it. And whether or not you decide you want that as a career, at least we have taken on the responsibility to share it with you, to share a profession that you may normally never, ever hear about. So that's what it is, and that's how it came about.
Well, I love that, and I think that that is wonderful. I think that's one of the things that our youth needs to be exposed to, and that they're lacking in the different science and math. As we know, are some, the classes that these children, these young adults, are not excelling in. And I think this is a wonderful thing to be able to bring them this opportunity or knowledge to them. Because I started in 71, and they were not hiring blacks. So at that point, it was more than just a dream. It was trying to accomplish or to have them open up the doors and allow us to be hired. So I think that this is a wonderful organization to introduce to the youth the different fields that you can go in aviation.
Yes.
Now, how do you spread the word? Where do you go? How do people find out about your organization? So how do you accomplish this?
Well, first of all, I must say that it's word of mouth, and that's how most things get out. We have had a website, and currently it's under construction, and as others are at times. We also work with other black aviation organizations and we meet together several times a year all over the country. And so as we work together and we volunteer in communities around the country, we are spreading the word. We're spreading the words in our communities. We're spreading the words in our schools, amongst ourselves. And as we meet and greet others on the airplane, we're spreading the word. So we get it out there. We have a lot of aviation career days, aviation just experiences around the country, and that's how we get it out there.
Well, how many members do you have, and are all airlines involved in your organization?
We have 9 chapters across the country, and some of them have small numbers in membership. Others have larger numbers, depending on the city. We had a very active chapter in Detroit that consisted mostly of Northwest flight attendants who, as you know, finally became Delta.
Yes.
And we've had many flight attendants in Houston. And flight attendants come and go, just like you come into the airlines and you you work, and then you have another life, and you have another life, and then you go to that other life, and then you come back into those events and activities that are interesting to you, and you partake in that. So our memberships vary, but we have never stopped. We have never stopped working. We've never stopped giving and contributing to the aviation community because we feel that we have an obligation. We have an obligation to spread the word about careers in aviation. So we're not giving up.
Well, one of the important things I want you to tell us is your motto. What is the motto of the Black Flight Attendants of America?
Serving the skies and the community is number one. Number two, promoting the legacy of Black history in aviation. If we can just spread those two models to the youth and the young adults in this country, they will know the importance of our role in aviation.
I love it. I love the motto, and I think if you could accomplish that, you've accomplished a lot. Let me interrupt real quick. We have another caller, so let me bring this person in and see what contribution they have to this conversation this morning. Hello, caller. Who am I speaking to?
Good morning. This is Diane Hunter in Los Angeles.
Oh, great. Obviously, you two know each other. So are you in the organization with Jacqueline?
Yes, I am a part of Black Flight Attendants of America, Incorporated, and have been working with it since its beginning, back in 1974.
She has something more important than that. She is a historian. You have to tell them, Diane.
Well, as a product of the civil rights era, I fortunately became the first Black flight attendant that Continental Airlines hired in 1965.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I flew for 43 years, and I have been retired since 2008. However, I have been diligently and continuously working with our organization, Black Flight Attendants of America, and happy and proud to be part of this organization.
Oh, my, that is wonderful. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say that I wholeheartedly appreciate you and your efforts to, talk to us. It's such an honor and a pleasure, and I, too, want to congratulate you on your book. I have not read it yet, but I do intend to read it. I have been rather ill for a short time here and haven't gotten around to it, but thank you.
I wish you speedy recovery, and I will be happy and thrilled when you get it. I wish that I want to have you on another show because I like to tell my audience about the things that we all went through in breaking the color barriers to get the job. And you must have the most exciting stories of what it was like being the first, the very first. And what year was that again? What year were you hired?
1965.
Wow.
1965. Okay. Delta didn't get their first black flight attendant until 1966.
Okay.
Patricia Murphy.
Well, we're certainly contemporaries, though you are younger, my dear.
Yes. I tell you, yeah, you know, you are the ones who open up the door for all of us and for the ones that we're trying to recruit, the new ones, which, as hard as it was to get the job back then because of our color, it is extremely hard to get the job these days because flight people still want to travel. They still want to be a flight attendant. And it is almost like impossible to be hired. I believe someone told me that Delta gets almost like 10,000 applications a day.
Wow.
Can you imagine that
many
people trying to get a job with, and there's so many airlines.
I haven't.
Many small ones that we haven't even heard of. And, of course, we all want to be with United, American, Delta, you know. And so it's a very hard struggle. So we had our struggle, and these young kids now really have another struggle.
Yes, they do.
So where are you from, Diane? You're from Los Angeles, you said.
Yes, I spent most of my flying career in Los Angeles. I did spend a short time in Denver, and I spent a considerable time in Houston, Texas, where I flew internationally my last few years.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly the year that we started to travel. Continental started to travel international, have international flights, but I did take some of those back in the day. I can't remember that exact date, but here in the 20th and 21st century, I was flying internationally. My favorite place was Japan, and that was my usual run because I loved the people, the country was beautiful, and the flying was just really great. We got to experience, which really became highlighted the reason that I became a flight attendant, Casey. I had wanted to learn more about people and different cultures. And by becoming a flight attendant, I was able to travel, see the world, and learn more about people. And travel in itself was very interesting and eye-opening and an enlightening experience. So I am very happy to have had that privilege. I was able to, through these 43 years that I flew, throughout those 43 years, I was able to have a family, and the job is one that allowed me to do all of the things that I just mentioned and have wonderful time off to raise my son and participate in the community and all of the Little League and different activities that our community offered. And it was a wonderful time. I miss it terribly, and I am happy in retirement, but I really do miss flying.
I know.
I would like to talk to you another time, as you say, about those early experiences, because I do have a few from back in the day, as we call it. But
I know. Well, if you wouldn't mind, and we have the time, can you think of a quick story to tell us? And then I want to go back, and Jacqueline, you just had a wonderful ceremony with the very first flight attendant who flew for what was African. And so I want to tie it all in. So, Diane, if you could give us a quick story about your experiences in getting the job, some of the obstacles that you encountered, and then Jacqueline, if you would just come in then and then tell us about the event, because the lady that you honored, the very first flight attendant, reading the article, it was interesting to say to me when she reported how she could not get off the airplane with the white flight attendants. But Diane, I want you to open up the doors and tell us a story, and then Jacqueline, let's take it up from there, if you would, please.
Okay.
Well, Casey, I don't know if I'm very good at telling stories. My recollections sometimes are a little bit unusual. I really didn't think very much about becoming being part of the era. I was more interested in just finding a job and a career that offered that offered the things that I wanted, which I mentioned already. My stories are very quaint and quiet. I do remember one story where I can say that as we all know, during that time there was discrimination in a lot of areas, and the airlines happened not to be any different. And one of my stories was just a very eye-opening one, where I attempted to serve a very famous person who did not want me to hand them their drinks or their food or their, to serve them. And I was just amazed, and, of course, my feelings were crushed. And later I grew to understand and expect that all people were not that same way, and I had a lot of experiences with people in particularly Texas, and that's where some of those incidents occurred, but there were a few that happened in Los Angeles, and I really don't want to name any names, but it was eye-opening and both disconcerting at the same time, if you know what I mean.
Well, and I do know what you mean, and that's what my book is all about, is telling those stories,
yes.
too, because
yes.
I was among the first of the flight attendants with Delta, and it wasn't Delta, it was the world. And as I said, Delta was a great company and protected us, as well as I'm sure your Continental did with you, but it was just the way that it was the way of the world. It was the passengers. It was the people that got on the airplane. And in the book, it does tell the stories of being denied access to the cockpit, not being able to having a room. They would tell us that the hotels were full. So I know that each one of us, as we all sit around and remember, because life has gone on, and we have to just really rattle our brain to come up with these stories.
Right.
But we lived through them, as we all know. And we can all get together and say, I had that happen to me. I had that happen. But we've moved on. But Jacqueline, would you give us an update on the ceremony, which I was really disappointed I wasn't able to make, and when you, the Black Flight Attendants of America, honored the very first. So would you give us a little history on that particular flight attendant?
First of all, let me say that we I want to thank you both for your stories, by the way, because you're taking me down memory lane. I'm just a little emotional right now because I'm thinking about my own experiences, and it was only in the early 1970s, but both of you go far before that time, and I just got caught up in emotion, so I apologize if I sound a little rattled. Okay, so we celebrated 40 years, Black Flight Attendants of America, recently at the Flight Path Learning Museum in LAX, and it happens to be the museum that houses all the uniforms and wings and hats and luggage and paraphernalia for every airline that has ever flown in and out of LAX. And it is a sight to behold. It's free. A lot of flight crews don't even know about it, and they're based here, right here in LAX. They don't even know that the museum exists. But it's there.
And may I interrupt real quick? I wish I had known, because remember I told you I had to sit in the airport for 5 hours. I would have.
Yes.
I wish I had known that. I'm going to make a trip out there, because that's history to be seen.
It is history to be seen, and while you say that, the museum has offered to have a display of Black Fighter Tens of America Incorporated because we were founded in LAX, and we are a part of the history of that airport. And so our funds together, get our Cubo code together, and have our own history displayed for the world to see, for generations of children and youth and young adults to see. So we're excited about that. That's a project that we're going to work on very, very soon.
Perfect.
But getting back to our celebration, it took place at that museum, that historic museum. And as we celebrated the 40th anniversary of the organization, we honored pioneers such as yourself, both of you and Diane, and legends that have been around, that were hired in the 1960s and 70s. And, 1950s, 60s, and 70s, because there are some fighter tens that are still, bless their hearts, they're still living. They're still able to tell their stories, and they were hired in the 1950s. So we honor those pioneers and legends hired in 1950s, 1960s, 1970s to come together, share their stories, and our very special honored guest from Cameroon, West Africa, was the first Black flight attendant in aviation history, and Diane will chime in and tell you the rest of the story about her.
Okay. Yes, her name is Lael Smith, and she's a lovely lady. She began her career in Cameroon, and eventually I'm not looking at the information right now, but she had the airlines that she worked for eventually changed. It started in Africa, and she went down the line there throughout their mergers and eventually worked for Air France, which we all are more familiar with here. Had many stories to tell. I'm so sorry that you and many of your listeners were not able to hear her story firsthand. There was a wonderful magazine article written about her. She is a wonderful community activist in the city of Denver, Colorado, and she just kind of personified Black Flight Attendants of America's goal to serve the community and to do her part to uplift the youth and especially young women. In her case, us, it's all youth, male and female, to expose them to the life and the travels and the benefits of community service and the ability to aim higher and continue their education. So I just, she was just a wonderful inspiration when I heard of her, and we wanted to honor her because as the first, she paved the way, as were several others that followed her who are also a part of our organization. There had been at United Airlines, what the group that they call the United 10, and they were the first 10 Black flight attendants hired for United Airlines back in the late 50s and early 60s. And all of them we want to give, to respect and to expose people, to tell our youth who they were, what they did. And hopefully, as Jackie said, the ones that are still with us will be able to give us their stories and perhaps even share them with you at some point in time. Our organization, as Jackie said, celebrated 40 years, and this program that we put on was called, which is something that we, it was called Lessons from Our Journeys, was the title of it, and we honored people in the community who had been part of our organization, who were our mentors, who served us in various capacities and who guided us and aided us in various ways. So we were able to honor people from Continental Airlines, United Airlines, and the first black pilot for Western, which later became Delta, were some of the honorees that we honored that night. The organization, as Jackie mentioned, I just want to quickly say that we established certain tiers in the organization that have grown from the founding chapter. And those tiers we called legends or pioneers or whatever one would think when you think of the people. But we do have legends from the 50s and 60s and 70s, but especially the 50s from most every airline. And those were the people that we want to invite and ask to join us in many of our different activities. I also want to say that as an organization, we have always supported the different career days for different schools. And just to kind of say that our experiences are varied, but our goal has always been to serve the community and the skies. And that's about it. I will at another time give you a little more information.
Let me interrupt you for a second because I'd like to give my audience a little history. Getting back to the very first flight attendant, Miss Smith. I read in the article, it was a wonderful article. She was a princess of the royal, and I may not be pronouncing the last name right, Duala family. And she was accepted for this job as a ground hostess when she was in high school. And she did that. She graduated, and she went on to fly. And this was back in 1956. And she flew at the age of 17. Where, you know, as you said, with the mergers with all the different airlines, and the one that we're all more familiar with would be Air France. But I thought that was so interesting. And so because of her royalty, and I'm sure that she was a very poised young lady, she was a perfect person to break the ice for all of us. But I thought that was so interesting. So we had a flight attendant that was a princess.
And no one knows it. Isn't that a shame?
They will know today because of us talking about her, and I would like to get her information from you, Jacqueline, because I'd love to have her on the show, and I really would like to go out to Denver to meet her. So, you know, the planes are nothing but taxi cabs to us, so as soon as I can get the time, I would love to go and meet her. Because one of the stories that she shared was that she wasn't allowed to get off the airplane on one particular flight with the white crew, and that they had to cover her up and whisk her away. Another employee took her to his house where she was able, that she stayed with him. And, and you know, I had heard a story like that when I was doing my interviewing for the book. People make reference to that during the apartheid, how there was a secret or a one-day pass for black flight attendants that came into the country, but they still weren't allowed to go out at night. Now, that hasn't been verified by anybody in particular to tell me it happened to them. So this Ms. Smith is the closest to my being able to validate that story about flying into different parts of Africa, and how even though she was a flight attendant and she was with the crew, she had to have separate sleeping quarters or accommodations than they. Which, fast forward, in 1966, it was still happening, and it was happening in America. So we've really come a long way. And getting back to that, and also with the organization, it is a good thing for the pioneers to go out and to recruit flight attendants and to give them, or people who would like to travel the world, and show them the beautiful side of airline. And with that, tell us a little bit about, you provide money for children if they want to go to college and they don't have it. Now, your organization does that, and how do they do that? Is it through fundraisers?
Well, actually, it is the Youth Travel Scholarship Fund, and what it is we provide full fare airline tickets for deserving students that have the grades, that have been admitted to colleges and universities around this country, but they don't have the means to get there. So what we have done, and we have done it for a very, very long time, we have pooled together our funds, and we have created groups of flight attendants that have committed to buying a full fare ticket for a deserving student to go to college. And what we try to do, and because the cost of travel is so expensive right now, now we try to take turns. So say, for example, the three of us on this line decided we were going to send a student to, say, Spelman in the fall. And we're going to get them to school, and we're going to get them back at the end of school. No holidays, no parents. We're just going to get you to school and get you back home. And maybe we'll do that for your freshman year. And maybe another group of flight attendants, another three or four, will get you there and get you back during your second year. And then you and I and Diane will pick it back up in your junior year. And we'll keep doing this back and forth until you graduate. That's our contribution. Our contribution is to get you to school and get you back. So our scholarship is a full fare airline ticket for you to go to school. That's our contribution. And how do we do that? Well, sometimes we can't afford it, so we have it out there and we tell our audience that, listen, this is our scholarship program. It's a youth travel scholarship, and if you'd like to make a contribution to help send a deserving student to school, we welcome your contribution. And we'll pool our monies together and we'll buy that full fare ticket, and that's what we're about.
I think that's fabulous. I think that is a wonderful thing, and travel can be very expensive. We're all blessed to be able to jump on the airplane anytime we want, and it's free, thank goodness for that. But
yes,
tickets are very, very expensive. And first of all, the kids are homesick. So to know
yes,
that they're going to be able to go home, I mean, that first year is a big adjustment for some children.
It sure is. Mm-hmm.
And for them to be able to know that at the end, if I maintain my grade average, which is an incentive,
yes,
so they have to maintain, I would think, a certain grade average before you guys do this for them. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct. And we also want them to do some community service and visit some of these great museums around the country that are aviation related. Because we are an aviation organization, it's important to us to at least expose them to the profession. And if you are going to earn this youth travel scholarship, then you've got to do something aviation related, even if you don't want to go into the field, but you need to know something about it. So that's one of our criteria. And it's not a bad thing, actually. It's an eye-opener. And it might even interest you in pursuing a career in aviation. And if it doesn't, that's okay. At least you know something about it. You've been introduced to it. And we feel that's our responsibility. So it's kind of a give and take. But more importantly, we want that deserving student to be able to be at peace. We want their parents to be at peace, or whoever's taking care of them and raising them, to know that we're going to get you there and we're going to get you back. And we don't have a lot of scholarships because we don't have a lot of contributions, a lot of donations. But those of you that are listening, if you're interested in what we're about and what we're trying to do, come and, you know, help us out.
Well, I think that's wonderful. And the website, I know it's under construction at the moment. Do you have any idea, or how can people, my audience at this point, get in contact or learn more about the organization? Because I think it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And I think, now, Jacqueline, you've worked with the Black Pilots Association, correct?
Yes, actually,
the organization has been a part of that at one time, right?
We are continuously working with the Black Pilots, and the official name is the Organization of Black Aviation. Ooh, help me out, Diane.
Aerospace. aerospace professionals.
Yes, black right. And not just the pilots, but we also work with the Bessie Coleman Foundation. And the largest black aviation organization, believe it or not, consists of federal employees. And it's the Black Coalition of Federal Aviation Employees. So they're out there, the black pilots, black flight attendants, Bessie Coleman Foundation. There are at least five black aviation organizations out there. We all come together and work together throughout the country in many different venues and different events, and we support each other. We are aviation partners in black aviation. So, yes, we do work with the black pilots, but we also work with other aviation professional organizations. And we have been doing it since the beginning of our organization. So they support us, and we support them. And it's
that
all about spreading the information to the youth of this country. They need to know that we're out there supporting them, lifting them up, mentoring them, and we're their side-by-side kick. We're there to help you out. We're there to lift you up.
I think that's wonderful, and I think that the part that where you have them to educate themselves on the heroes, the pioneers in aviation, and that's part of what my book has done. And just Bessie Coleman in particular, to be the first female to get her pilot's license. People don't know all. They go, oh, I think I've heard of that, but they don't know the whole story. And blacks in aviation, that is a part of history. So I think you're requesting of the students to visit the museums, learn the history, which means when you learn, you'll tell the next generation and the next generation.
Exactly.
We cannot allow this to be lost.
Right. Exactly. And I want to commend you for your talking about Bessie Coleman in your book, Casey. I was really proud to read and see her picture, and I know that your readers are going to enjoy that piece of history that you shared in your book.
Thank you.
That's exactly what
I want the book to do. I want the book to educate. Most people are saying exactly what I always wanted them to say is, I didn't know that, I didn't know you went through it, and I learned a lot. And that is exactly what I wanted to accomplish by writing that, because we are a part of history.
Look
how long it took for Tuskegee Airmen to be recognized.
Oh, heavens.
That was in the war. I mean, they were protecting the country, the soldiers, the airplanes.
Yes.
They had a big
investment
in that. And here it took forever for the Tuskegee Airmen to be recognized. But we can't cry over the spilt milk. We can just move forward in telling the story and making sure that all generations will remember and give them their proper due, because they are dying out.
They are. They are, Casey. And I just want to say that let's continue to document our stories for the future generations. Let's continue to do that. It's so, so important. We know it's important, but we have to make it even more important to encourage current generation of aviation professionals to take our story, to document our history, and to pass it on to the next generation and the next generation. And that's our legacy. That's what we're leaving.
And that is
our
legacy. And that is exactly why I must talk to you. I must have you on the radio show. And I'll give you time to write down your notes so you can really remember and reflect on the different things that you went through. And it was interesting. I'm not sure. Did you say why you wanted to become a flight attendant? It was because you wanted to travel? Or did you know about flight attendant? How did you come into knowing about being a stewardess?
Casey, I was working in an office, and I did not like the office atmosphere. It was not for me.
Yes.
And because I live in Los Angeles, I am a native Californian. At the time that I applied, there were two airlines that had their world headquarters in Los Angeles, Western Airlines and Continental. And I made a pact with myself that every Monday morning at 9 a.m., when I had my first coffee break in my office that I would call these two airlines and find out who was hiring for anything.
Oh.
And finally, I got hired by Continental. I worked in their headquarters as an operator. I was your greeter at the international headquarters. And there was a smoke glass window I could see out of, but you couldn't see inside. And there was a crew bus that would come right up to my window. And crews would get off the bus, and they'd get on the bus every 20 minutes. They were so happy. And I said, I don't know what they're doing, but I want to do that.
I know.
That was it. That was it.
I know.
That was the beginning of my story. I want to be that happy. And to this day,
Diane,
yes.
Are you still with
me? Yes, I am. I'm here.
And your story was similar to that, too. You said, I want to do that. I want to travel. I want to see the world.
Correct. That is exactly what happened. And my story was not actually, I heard about the airlines through, I had a friend who had gone to the, graduated from the Air Force Academy and that was about to become a pilot. And that's when I first became interested in the aerospace industry. And I thought that it was such a wonderful thing to, you know, get up in a big airplane, as Jackie mentioned, and be able to fly around. And then I realized all of the education and credentials it took to be able to become a pilot. And I said, well, I waited a little late for that. And I would like to get a job that allowed me to fly and fly around in the airplanes, too. And I wanted to become a flight attendant because of that interest in flying and the curiosity I had about airplanes back in the early 60s, really. So it was just at that time... In Denver, where I came from, there had been a mass emphasis on hiring back in the days of in the early 60s, and the Denver Urban League and NAACP were canvassing for qualified youth to apply for different jobs at the airlines, and that further piqued my interest, and I was directed to make applications to some different airlines, and that's what happened, and I did. And
well, you know,
I came to... Go ahead.
You know what I think is interesting, and I'll ask both of you guys this just for a moment of just reflecting. Isn't that funny how we had a dream about traveling, and which is good, Jackie, your organization opens up your eyes to other avenues and other jobs. But isn't that funny that I never thought about becoming a pilot? And we did have a flight attendant that, you know, flew for a couple of years and then went on and pursued the career as a pilot. I never had an interest in flying the airplane. I enjoyed doing exactly what we did, talking to the passengers. And people were so interesting. We used to get all those interesting people, and you had time to talk to them. That was the fulfilling position for me. I never thought about being in control. Isn't that funny how none of us, well, you did, Diane. You said you kind of investigated it but realized you were kind of out of that age group to be able to pursue that dream. But we were very satisfied in being flight attendants and not discouraged or disappointed that we didn't pursue the pilot career.
Yes, right.
Well, may I say, Casey, that is the wonderful thing about our organization, because we want young people to know that there are other positions in aviation other than becoming a pilot or a flight attendant that are so necessary and needed. And
yes.
Create the corporations that the airlines have become.
Right.
So So that part is really a good thing. And the more, incidentally, it reminds me of the celebration we had last month. We were able to have the first black ticket agent that Continental Airlines had, that was part of the Continental Airline history, speak and give her many lessons and to tell us about her trials and tribulations and the great difficulty, her name is Joy Henley, that she had in becoming a ticket agent. And she's had lots of obstacles to overcome and things that you might, you know, also be interested in because they are so similar, seemingly, to all the stories that we all have to tell.
That's right.
Yes. And, you know, and everybody, there has to be a first with everybody. There has to be a first with every career. And as we sit down and, you know, sharing a, well, glass of wine or Coca-Cola or whatever it is, all of us, our stories are going to be all so similar because being the first is, being the pioneer is rough.
Exactly.
And you have to have fortitude to continue to realize the responsibilities that are on your shoulders as the first and the pride that you have to have. And you have to be better than the average person. The first
exactly.
is always a big burden for that first.
Right. And that's why we have to continue to share our stories and make certain that future generations continue the legacy of telling the stories.
Exactly.
Because someone, like you said, paved the way. Many paved the way, but there are not many still on the planet. So let's celebrate them. Let's honor them.
I tell you, we always get enthused. Whenever flight attendants get together, we just love to talk about the good old days, and we could talk forever and ever and exchange such wonderful stories. But, Jackie, do you want to give the website out? Because any day it could be up. So would you like to give that information out or how people can contact you?
I want to say to our audience, first of all, thank you for listening. And because our website is under construction, but soon it will be back up, and it is, please write this down, blackflightattendants.org.
Blackflightattendants.org. Okay.
Okay, so please look for it. It'll be coming up again soon. Stay in tune. Come and help us out. Support us. And please buy a full fare ticket or make a contribution and let's send a kid to school. Let's do
that. Well, I would do my part in mentioning you to anyone and everyone, and I also will mention you on my website and to try to get this revenue for you, to try to increase it, because I think you're doing such a wonderful job. And I would like to thank both of you for calling in and being a part of this show. And thank you, Diane.
Well, you're welcome, and I'd also like to add, is it possible to put our email address on the air for immediate response?
Please, give it to us.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's the initials, BFAOA at AOL.com.
Okay, repeat that one more time.
Jackie, would you repeat it? I'm hoarse, please.
That's okay. Our email address is our organization, BFAOA at AOL.com, meaning Black Flight Attendants of America at AOL.com. BFAOA at AOL.com. Please contact us and reach out. Let's continue the legacy. That's
please,
what I'm going to leave out.
Well, Jacqueline. Jacqueline,
yes.
Jacqueline. I am just so happy we finally got this wonderful interview. I think it was very informative. I think that people really, I'm going to do my part in trying to recruit people to join. And anything you need from me, please just ask. You know I'm here.
Okay. Thank you, Casey, for having us. Thank you, Diane, for calling in.
Thank you, Casey. Thank you, Jackie.
Okay, thank you, ladies. And with that, I'm to end the show, and I want to thank my audience once again for listening to another exciting and informative. I hope that you gathered a lot of information. I'd like to remind you that I will be back next week with another interesting person of interest. And I would like for you to pass the word around. Tell your family, tell your friends. They can become a part of the show. They can call in, and my number is 347-857-3609. That's the Fly Girl Show. And once again, that call-in number is 347-857-3609. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your comments and become a part of the show. Once again, this is Casey Grant, and I am signing off. And let me remind you that your blessings are as numerous as the stars in the sky. Have a wonderful day, and I will be back on air next week. Thank you. Goodbye.